This morning's reading is from Mark chapter 9, and it's verses 14 to 29, and can be found in the Bibles on page 957. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet them. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied. "How long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus. "Everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer."
Sometimes you come to Bible stories, and they're ones that are very familiar. And when we pick up these new Bible stories, and we kind of go, "Oh, well, I've read that one, I know that one." And this one, for me, was one of those stories. We know Jesus was up on the mountain of the Transfiguration. He's just had this wonderful glory encounter with God. He's been up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and while he was there, he changed in front of them. He was shining brightly, and the kind of glory of God was seen, perhaps most evidently at any point in his life, in Jesus. And while he was like that, Elijah and Moses, they came, they were with him, and Peter, James, and John were there, and it's an incredible encounter. But whenever you have those mountaintop encounters, including for Jesus, there comes the point where you've got to go back down again. And often when you go back down again, there's that sense of, that sense of anticlimax. You're there, you're riding on the crest of a wave, and then it comes crashing down. And Jesus came back and found this argument going on. If we could have the PowerPoint up, that would be great. Thank you. Had this argument going on, and there were the scribes, the kind of teachers of law. They understood what was there. And this man had brought his son to Jesus or his disciples to be healed, and they'd failed, and the scribes were not missing their opportunity to have a go. You're just rubbish. There's no way you could do that. It just shows how wrong you and Jesus are by the fact that you failed in this. And Jesus comes, and he finds the father, and he finds this boy, whether it's an evil spirit, epilepsy, a bit of both. Different people read it different ways. But Jesus then comes, he prays for the boy, the evil spirit goes, there's an instant cure to the amazement of everybody, and the disciples are left feeling like idiots for having not tried prayer. When Jesus finishes with the line, "This kind can come out only by prayer." I did get the story wrong as I told it then. Unlike earlier when I was giving the notices, that time I got the story wrong deliberately. You see, the problem is, within this story, when Jesus finishes it with "this kind can come out only by prayer," If you read it through, if you listened as Beth was reading it to us, Jesus doesn't pray. Ah, bit of a problem. We've got this scene of Jesus coming down, casting out an evil spirit. This kind comes out only by prayer. On the way that I often read it, and perhaps I'm not completely alone on that, we're left wondering, what was it the disciples had been trying? Ah, they've brought a boy with an evil spirit. Let's try and get rid of it by Morris dancing. Maybe a game of snap. Here's a nice rabbit for you to stroke. What have the disciples been trying? Maybe they've been trying to reason with the spirit. Really, it would probably be better if you came out. Nowhere in the story does Jesus pray. The nearest we get is when he speaks to an evil spirit, and I'm not willing to call that prayer. I hope you're not either. So what is going on? What does Jesus mean when he says this kind come out only by prayer? And what does that mean for us as we try and minister to one another, as we pray for one another, as we seek to bring God's blessing and healing and all kinds of things, particularly through prayer ministry? Well, let's look at the two different sides. Let's start with the Father. His greatest need, as he perceives it, is for his son to be exorcised, to be healed. He's desperate. And yet what Jesus most wants to deal with him in him is something different. And so, effectually, he asks the question, where is your faith? You see, this man, he needs a faith lift. His faith is present, but it's dented, it's hurt, it's damaged. See, when he brought his boy there, Jesus wasn't there. He was off up a mountain having a bit of a spiritual high. Instead, he's left with the disciples. And the idea of a disciple under a teacher is that they will be trained and equipped and ready to do everything that their teacher was doing. And so he brings the boy to the disciples. And nothing happens. He came with faith, but that faith is dented. And now he's presented with Jesus. And the question is even Jesus up to it? So he says to Jesus, well, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus challenges those very words. If you can. I love the way you read that. Really, if you can. Everything is possible for the one who believes. So it's the man's fault. Didn't have enough faith. We need to raise faith. He needed to raise faith. But how do we raise our faith? How do we raise our expectation of God? Well, for this man, that faith comes through a mixture of two things, through hope and experience. He was desperate for healing for his son. And now Jesus is offering a remedy. He's offering exorcism. And he clings to that possibility. And he cries out, I do believe. But at the same time, he's a skeptic. He's been let down before. This son of his has been afflicted for many years. He's still a boy, but he's been like it since he was very little. This can't be the first person that the father has gone to trying to sort this out. But it's all come to nothing. He then brought him to the disciples. It came to nothing. The questions must be there. Can this Jesus be everything he's cracked up to be? So he's got this faith of hope and desperation, but it's tempered by his experience. And so he says, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. Perhaps there is a recognition that actually his greater need isn't the healing of his son, but the restoring of his faith and trust in God. And so he embraces what God wants to do in him. He sees a miracle. And I suspect his faith in God remains stronger for it. So that's the Father coming along. But what about for the disciples? They seem to be assuming, well, Jesus has bestowed the gift on us of casting out evil spirits. So we must be fine. We must be able to do this. If you look back in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, I'll read it to you. There's no need to turn to it. He appointed 12, designating them apostles, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Well, God's given us the gift. Jesus bestowed the gift on us. We're presented with an evil spirit. Why doesn't it work? Well, for them, the question remains, where is their faith? Their faith seems to be in, he's given me the gift, therefore I'm fine, rather than in maintaining their trust in God. You see, that they're trusting in the gifting, not in God. Yes, there was a gift given to them, but instead they need a faith that comes through their relationship. A gift that develops in the context of our relationship with God, including our devotional life. And so when Jesus says this kind can come out only by prayer, it seems to me what he means is by having a life of prayer. A regular habit of prayer, of worship, of devotion to God. And so when Jesus comes in reliance on the relationship he has with Father, he succeeds. And out of that relationship, he has the authority to command the Spirit to leave and not come back. Some of you will have seen the Lord of the Rings films, and particularly the second film, The Two Towers. Within that film, there is a scene where Gollum, this evil creature who was once effectively just like the hobbits, has been possessed by the Ring of Power. That's actually my wedding ring. That's not the Ring of Power. There may be one person here who thinks that when I put the ring on, it gave them power over me. But Gollum has been possessed by this evil spirit, and he is there in this scene, arguing with himself. It's brilliantly done. And you've got kind of nice Smeagol and evil Gollum, and they're arguing backwards and forwards. And he's trying to exorcise his own demons effectively within that scene. And he tries again. And there's this kind of wonderful bit where he's going, leave and never come back. Leave and never come back. And I don't want to give away any spoilers for the film, but it was out a while ago. If you haven't seen it, it's frankly too late to complain. It seems like he succeeds. And for the next few scenes in the film, Smeagol is good. But the spirit doesn't leave and never come back. He does come back. And so when Jesus commands the spirit here to leave and never come back, this is not the power of positive thinking or wishful thinking. This is the power of God. This is the authority that Jesus Christ has, because he alone is sufficient for the spirit to leave and never come back. So where does that leave us in terms of prayer ministry? Well, first of all, I want us to consider those who have the incredible privilege of ministering to others in this way. One of the parts of my job that I just love is having that privilege of getting alongside people, praying with them, seeing God break into their lives and transform them through his grace and through his power. We also have a prayer ministry team that are available on Sundays after every service. I wonder if those who are on the prayer ministry team could just stand. Just so that people can kind of see who you are and where you are. They're an amazing group of people stay standing, I haven't finished with you yet. On one level, these are the most amazing people. They have wisdom, they have grace, and they have an incredibly low embarrassment threshold when people say nice things about them in public. You can sit down now. They are amazing, wonderful people, and on another level, they're actually, and I hope they don't mind me saying this, they're very ordinary. They don't have the power to change you, to heal you. If you come to them for prayer, they are just normal. But they minister out of their relationship with God. And that's a relationship that's marked with trust and marked with experience. It's one that's lived out with God in devotion and prayer. And they will probably tell you, because they're very humble, that they fall short of that. They do it very inadequately, as probably all of us do it inadequately. We'd love the relationship to be stronger and to be deeper. But for those on the prayer ministry team, one of the things we look for in people in the prayer ministry team is their heart to be going deeper and deeper with God. And so they pray in total reliance on Him. Because they know, if you come to them and go, oh, I really need prayer, their resources are not enough. But God's resources are unlimited. And it may be that here, some of you this morning are going, I'd love to do that. Well, if you'd love to do that, you'd love to be part of the team. You may feel, well, my relationship with God isn't as deep as you've just described. Well, none of them would say their relationship was as deep as I've just described either. But if you'd like to get involved, or at least find out more about getting involved, have a word with Stepanka. She'd love to chat with you. She oversees that team. Have a chat with her. She would love to see more people getting involved in that ministry. So that's for those who are ministering out of that relationship with God in reliance on Him, because whatever we deal with, this kind can come out only by prayer, only by having that relationship with God expressed in prayer. But what about for those of us who are on the receiving end of prayer ministry? Going for prayer. So I've benefited from that group of people. I know shortly before Christmas I preached at the earlier, when we had two services, I preached at the earlier one. And I got to the end of that service and I shook people's hand as they were filing through and going, thank you, that was lovely. And in myself, I was exhausted. I thought, I've got another one to do. I can't cope with this. And so I thought, well, rather than just feeling miserable in myself, maybe I should go and get someone to pray for me. And I went over there, and I won't mention his name, but it was David Scott who prayed with me. And as he prayed, there was like, I don't know, it was like spiritual Red Bull. I got that burst of energy and actually felt more energized by the second service than I had in the first. But if we go for prayer, there is still that question of where is your faith? Now, I suspect many of us don't have a problem that if someone else goes for prayer, God might heal them, or God might touch them, or do something for them. It's when it's for me. Surely it won't be for me, or maybe it will be partial, but it won't be complete, because deep down I'm not quite good enough, or not quite right enough for that. I remember hearing Sandy Miller, who was the vicar at Holy Trinity Church in Brompton, saying that historically within his church they didn't pray for people to be healed, and nobody was. Now they pray for everybody to be healed, and some are. And we kind of hear that and go, and I'll be one of the ones that won't be. We have faith for other people that's often not matched for ourselves. We're a bit like the father in the story saying, I believe, but help me in my unbelief. So we need to come with an honesty to God. See, His faithfulness does not depend on ours. But we need to be honest. We need to be open with Him. Because God can still work with us in our doubts. He did for the father in the story. We also come with this recognition, yeah, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. We come with that recognition, well, actually there are things I perceive that I need. I don't know what it is. Well, for some of you, I do know what it is, because you shared that with me. But for many of you, I don't know what that is. It might be something to do with your health, or your finances, or your work, or relationships, or that you are aware that there is some kind of spiritual attack going on in your life at the moment. We probably all, if we were just in our own mind and not having to say it to anybody else, we could come up with our list of, actually, this is what I really need at the moment. This is what I'd really love God to do in me at the moment. But there are probably also unperceived needs. Things that God may want to do in you. Maybe we're not aware of them. I suspect when the father came to Jesus, his need was, I want my boy better. And what Jesus did in him was rekindle the faith that had been dented and damaged and bruised. So we come and we ask. It's been so encouraging for me over this last term as we've had our series looking on prayer, that there is a rise in the number of people going over to the right-hand side of church for prayer ministry. And not just happening over there as I look around and I see twos and threes just gathered together praying after services. That's been so encouraging, and I know that there is more that happens beyond Sunday services, within home groups, as people visit different homes. There are opportunities every week to receive that kind of ministry, not to come with any embarrassment or shame, just humbly recognizing we're not all that we could be in God. His ultimate purpose in us is to make us more like Jesus, and every one of us has a bit of a way to go on that. So what do we do about it? It would be very easy to finish there and all agree, going, yep, no, that all sounds good. We get to the end of the service and everybody files past going, thank you, that was lovely. And going away with a kind of niggle in the back of our minds that just maybe there was something more that we needed to do about it. But instead, we file through and overwhelmed by the desire to have a cup of tea. Or to get home and get on with making the lunch. Or got to go and collect the children. And so today, rather than allowing those pressures to get in the way, we've deliberately brought the sermon a bit earlier in the service so that we can have time now to pray, to minister to one another, to make space to respond. So the question, is there a need in your life? Something that's on your heart or mind that you would like to bring before God? Now, of course, we can pray alone about those things. But Jesus seems to say that there is a different dynamic when two or three agree on something in his name. Maybe it's not something in your life, but it's something in the life of someone close to you. Their pain you feel. You can bring them before God. Maybe you just go, actually, I just want that greater measure of God's Spirit in my life. Or you just want to come before him and say, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So we're going to move into doing that. We're going to get to that point. I'm going to come down just because that's a little bit easier for me. Dave's going to come up. We're going to have some songs. And some of them you'll know, and some of them might be a bit less familiar. But they're not going to be loud, boppy praise songs. I was so blessed earlier on by seeing MB dancing around here. And there was part of me that went, you know, I want to worship like that. But I can't. What will they think? As we come to prayer ministry, we see other people go forwards and we think, I want to be there. But I can't. What will people think? And you know what? they probably won't even notice. They certainly won't think any less of you for saying, you know, I fall a little bit short of where I want to be with God. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to invite those who are on the prayer ministry team to come up to kind of this sort of area. And as we, you can do that now if you'd like, as we sing these songs, if you're aware that there is something in you that would really appreciate prayer, not because these people are super spiritual, have got the power, or anything like that, but just because God has the power, and these people are living faithfully with Him. As we worship, just come up. One of them will come to you, and they'll just ask, what would you like me to pray for you? And it's entirely up to you what you tell them. It's not going to go further. They're not going to start praying in a huge loud voice. We pray about their lust problem. That's not going to happen. They'll be sensitive, they'll be gentle, and they'll just pray with you and ask God to meet you, to bless you, to touch you, whatever it is that you've asked for prayer for. It's not going to be a high pressure thing. It's just Father coming and meeting His child. So, just going to take a moment just to think, what is it in you that you would like God to do for you today? Dave's going to lead us now, and we'll just stay seated unless you need to be moving to allow other people to come out or that you need to come out. And we're just going to spend that time for the rest of the service singing these songs and praying for one another. Dave, thank you. Father God, we thank you that you meet us, whether our faith is high, whether our faith is low. You meet us on the basis of your faithfulness. You meet us as we come in relationship with you. You meet us by your Spirit. And you create more and more of your life in us. We ask, Father God, that you may keep us coming to you, that we might receive your ministry and that we might minister out of your love and grace in our lives. Father, pour your Spirit upon us, fill us afresh, and send us out, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you. May God go with you through this coming week.